presumably when you create an online course, you want it to stand the test of time. You don't want to have to be recreating a new course every year or even a couple of times a year in some people's cases where they create a course and then the next year it's gone. You can't even find it. It's not for sale anymore. And if you want it to stand the test of time, if you want this course to be available for several years and develop the reputation of being, you know, the best in your industry and not have to be on that constant hamster wheel of creating new content and creating new courses and finding something else to sell. And people who are doing that, they're having to create new courses to sell because the old ones sucked.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. Chuck, what is the topic for today? What are we diving into today?
All right, we're going to talk today about the importance of actually doing what you do best and proving your content before you start to teach it. And, you know, we're going to help people to avoid courses that no one wants to buy, courses that really have no value, and just another course that teaches stuff that is theory, stuff that you research, rather than stuff you've actually figured out and that actually helps people.
Yeah, and we're going to try not to turn this into a big rant. Maybe a little bit of a rant. We'll kick off with a little bit of a rant. But we do have some practical advice for those of you that want to scale your business by, you know, transferring your knowledge to others. And the process that we're taking, because we didn't start out as selling courses and stuff. We're getting into that this year, but we started out as service providers. I personally spent 3 years working for an online course platform. I've looked at hundreds and hundreds of courses, purchased a lot of courses, especially marketing courses. And a lot of what I came across was people creating courses based on concepts they learned by buying a course, and then they rush straight to teaching what they learned without testing it on themselves or testing it to others. So over the past few years, I've seen the online course marketplace basically get flooded with a ton of courses taught by people who haven't been practitioners. And in some cases, they're decent teachers. They're good at transferring information, but most of the time they're not. And most of the time the information isn't any good either. That's the extent of my rant, I think. Chuck, you've been in the coaching and course creation space as well. I've only really seen it in the online marketing world. I know you've touched other niches and other industries. Does the same problem exist in other industries, would you say?
It really does. And as you can tell by the gray hair here, I've been doing this a while. And we started our first course in 1999. And it was amazing how quickly the copycats came. From, you know, they'll take your course and then they regurgitate it and they put it out there in a course. And they think that the whole thing is about just having a course. And our course was always based upon stuff that we have done, results that we've achieved, things that we can actually help people do. And nothing frustrates me more than when I fall for a really good sales page, there's a skill that I want to add to what I do or to get better at, because, you know, in today's marketplace, things change so rapidly, especially in social media and video marketing. Where you fall for a good sales page, you get in there and you start viewing the content and you realize that it's just absolute rubbish. Like it's poorly researched. It's not well put together. You can tell that they've never done it. They're just teaching stuff that they heard someone else teach. And then you get this copy of a copy of a copy. And, you know, we're not only is the content bad, but where are we leading people? Right? Because one of the things that I valued so much in my business is, over the years, and why we connect so well, Tyler, is that we believe in practicing what we preach, but also preaching what we actually put into practice. You know, mistakes that we've avoided and things that we, results that we've achieved, and actually lead some people somewhere good. I want this work that we do and the courses that we teach to actually work for people. And the way we know it works for people, because we actually do it ourselves.
Yep. And Chuck and I, we had our strategy meeting, like our planning meeting for our business last week. And one of the questions I asked Chuck was, what are the things that you are really great at and enjoy doing? And we asked the same question of myself. And in Chuck's case, the answer was that he really liked coaching others. He's been doing that for years. He spent the past 8 years now running the coaching program, helping people start their online business. And even before that, he worked at Internet Marketing Center, huge training company. And so there was a ton of coaching and content creation happening there and speaking happening there. That's his wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is I love to create content as well. I think that's a form of teaching as well. I wouldn't call it coaching, but I love transferring knowledge to other people through the form of content. That's why I've produced so much content over the years. So these are two skill sets that we have. We have the ability to transfer what we know to others, and we actually really like doing it. And I think that we're half decent at it. You know, I've looked at a lot of other content, courses, webinars out there. We get good feedback on our stuff when we put content out there and training out there. But we've worked together for over a year now, and we've been selling services. And neither of us was as excited to sell services as we are as excited to sell like the teaching and training. And this year we want to produce a lot more content. We want to, you know, we've started the podcast. We're producing more webinars. We want to speak at more events. We want to create more courses, training programs, right? To teach others about content marketing and paid advertising. But we are so thankful that we spent this past year in the trenches working directly with clients one-on-one, testing a lot of the assumptions on ourselves, testing the processes on ourselves, and then testing them on clients. And these are clients in different industries. So that has given us, in working through these client calls and flagging, you know, sticking points where they had an issue with this, or they had a question about that, or this process here wasn't quite clear enough. It forced us to really, really, really hone and refine all of the steps and all of the things that are a part of content marketing before jumping straight to creating info products to teach this stuff. Is there anything you want to add to that, Chuck?
Well, what I'll say is, you know, when we started working together, we sat down and we brainstormed, well, what do we want to offer? Mm-hmm. And I think a course did come up fairly early in that conversation. But one of the things that I think we agreed upon is that we didn't want it to just be another course. We wanted this course to be good. And also, I think we had to really pay attention to the inquiries that were coming our way. Mm-hmm. A course wouldn't have been the right thing to offer to the people who were coming into our space at the time. What they really needed help with was with their content marketing and even coaching, even though that's my favorite way of adding value is coaching people and actually rolling up my sleeves and consulting with them. The majority of the people coming through our door were looking for just, can you do this for me?
Yeah,
like the done for you services, yeah. As much as they were painful to get good at. And
yep.
I think we're still getting better every day at it, but I can certainly see why people struggle with it. And even as an agency, it wasn't the easiest thing to do, but it's what people were willing to pay for. It's what they wanted. And so one of the things that I've learned in all of the years of coaching and selling is another one of my skills. If you try to sell something to someone that they don't necessarily want or they don't necessarily believe, then it's the wrong thing for what they need, then it's a difficult sell. And you want to make things easier for yourself, give people what they want. So it made sense for us to do the done for you services. And I'm really glad that we did, because this course that we're producing right now is going to be so much better because of all the things that we learned. We were in the trenches and we suffered right alongside our clients. We know why they can't publish their own stuff. And through the process of publishing stuff for them, we've been able to see how to overcome it. And mm-hmm. this course is going to be really good because we're going to be able to show people what the mistakes were, what we did to overcome it, and what we did to even streamline the process.
Yep. And not having that insight is one of the biggest mistakes that course creators that jump straight to teaching, like they don't work with anyone one-on-one first. They kind of skip through that phase of being a freelancer or a service provider, and they just jump straight to teacher, is that they teach their content in the way that it, they understand it and that it makes sense in their head, but they haven't proven that that way of explaining it is transferable to somebody else. And they don't know where somebody might get stuck because there was no feedback loop at all. They're not going to find out that the fact that they put, you know, step one before step two, or it should have been in a different order, or the fact that before somebody started step two, they actually should have had this thing in place first. And if that wasn't in place, they get stuck there in your course. If they don't have that feedback loop, that I think is why the completion rates on online courses are pretty abysmal. I've seen some stats, like they're, you know, they're as low as like 5-10%, about as low as books, people that buy books and never read the damn books. The same problem exists in online courses. And I think a big part of it is because if you don't identify where somebody gets stuck and you bake that in to your online training to prevent them from getting stuck, present your concepts in the right order, and give them frameworks and templates and worksheets that you've tested, then they're much less likely to get stuck and not complete your program and then ultimately not get the result that they wanted, which is why they buy your program in the first place. So anyway, we'll wrap up with a few tactical steps, because for those of you that are out there buying online courses, just as a very quick screen test, if you're buying online courses, ask yourself, is the person who created the program, have they done it before? And not only have they done it for themselves, but are there some case studies of them having helped other people, you know, through that process, right? If you're buying a course on, I don't know, like health, you know, health and fitness or something like that, is the person healthy and fit? And do they have a track record of clients that they helped get healthy and fit? Because what worked for that one person might not work for others as well. So before they create a course, they should figure out how to transfer information to several different types of people and learners in a way that all of them can benefit from them. You know, like some of the worst courses I've taken were like literally, you know, courses on how to do webinars, how to do podcasts, how to do set up funnels, all this kind of stuff. And this is the gist of some of these courses. Here's how I created my webinar. Copy me. And it's like, okay, that's kind of bad advice, because what worked for you and for your industry and for your price point and for your target market might not work for me over here in my business, right? Every business is actually somewhat unique in who they're trying to reach and how they should best reach those people. So anyway, that did become a little bit of a rant. But as the business owner, if you're making the shift from service provider to creating some training, go through those phases. Test your stuff on yourself first to prove that it works. Test your content, your advice, implement it yourself, prove that it works. But then to take it a step further, test it on others to prove that it wasn't luck. Test it on others so that you prove that what you did for yourself is actually transferable to other people, and that you weren't an exception to the rule or an exception to the principles and the strategies that you teach in your process. And then once you've done that, once you have some case studies of people who are, you know, maybe different demographics or different industries or different business models, like make sure that your stuff is transferable to more than one type of client. Then you go and you get ready to teach it to others. Do those steps make sense, Chuck? Is there any advice you want to give to those people who are considering creating courses for their own business and selling courses and online trainings to the marketplace? Any advice you want to add to that?
Yeah, they make perfect sense to me. And what I would add is, presumably when you create an online course, you want it to stand the test of time. You don't want to have to be recreating a new course every year or even a couple of times a year in some people's cases, where they create a course and then the next year it's gone. You can't even find it. It's not for sale anymore. And if you want it to stand the test of time, if you want this course to be available for several years and develop the reputation of being, you know, the best in your industry and not have to be on that constant hamster wheel of creating new content and creating new courses and finding something else to sell. And people who are doing that, they're having to create new courses to sell because the old one sucked and no one was going to buy it anymore. So then they had to move on to the other thing. But I've been part of courses that have been around for 10 years and the things barely change, right? Aside from the annual updates, the offer has been very steady. It's been consistent. And you position yourself as an expert. And when you position yourself as an expert and you have happy clients, then they're going to refer people to you. And ultimately, you're going to have a course that you're not going to constantly be creating course content. You're going to be working on ways of selling and scaling the sales of your course.
Yeah, that's good advice. And I think when somebody takes a tactic and then creates a course on teaching a tactic, that's when they're at risk the most of, you know, maybe 2 months after they create the course, that tactic changes. It's way better to, if you're going to create a big program, make sure you're teaching some strategy and some fundamentals so that if any one of the particular tactics involved in that changes, you can just go in and update that section in your course, but don't build a whole program around a very specific tactic that could very well change, especially in the online marketing world where tools and tech and things that we can do change so fast. You can't keep up, right? I remember when Facebook released, they made some big changes in 2019 to their advertising platform. And I felt pain for all of the Facebook experts out there that had created courses that now had to circle back and update their stuff because their courses were so tactical and those tactics didn't even work anymore because of some of the changes that happened with Facebook. Anyway, we're going to be producing a lot more content, a lot more training this year. So if you're interested in consuming any content from us, any training, go to our website, influenceandscale.com. We're adding resources there that have been tested on ourselves and our clients. We're going to be adding more webinars, more online trainings, and pretty soon we'll have a nice big content strategy and content management program. We're going to take all the stuff that we've been doing for clients and share that process in a program for businesses that want to own that internally and train their own content managers and have somebody in-house do their content and do their advertising. So that's exciting. So anyway, if you want to stay in the loop, just make sure you pop by our website, Influence and Scale. We got a resource page there. Anything that we've put out, you can find from there. So we appreciate you. We hope this was helpful. And if you're creating courses, we wish you all the best. You know, feel free to reach out if you have any questions on the process. We've done it a few times. Chuck has done it more than a few times. We've done a lot of coaching, a lot of content creation. So if you have questions about that stuff, we would be happy to hear from you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Influence and Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.